This is John Nantz from Redwood Advisors, and we are really lucky to have Josh Baer of Capital Factory in Austin, Texas with us today for an interview for the Austin Innovation Ecosystem Report. Josh, thanks for making the time. I know you're incredibly busy, and we really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
So before we dig into this, I know a lot of people that are going to listen to this probably know about you. They probably know about Capital Factory, but for those who may not, would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and a little bit of the history and kind of mission of Capital Factory?
Sure. Well, I was studying computer science during the first dot-com boom in the kind of mid to late 90s, and was just kind of really stumbled across entrepreneurship, but at the same time was pointed in that direction. A lot of my family had been entrepreneurs, and I kind of knew I wanted to do something but didn't want to know what, and ended up starting one of the first hosted email marketing companies. So today, think something like a MailChimp or ExactTarget. And I started that company in my dorm room, and I built it up on credit cards, and I built, hired all my friends. And about 10 years later, eventually sold that business.
And where was this, just in this context, where was this happening?
I was studying computer science at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And that was just a great kind of petri dish to be in of, the internet and all kinds of innovation and other things happening around me. And then just being at the right time, I think, around with the commercial internet really kind of booming and starting. But then I graduated in 1999, which was like the peak of the dot-com boom. And that was the irrational exuberance, they called it at the time. But it was like, they're literally like shooting money out of cannons. And, it was a pretty awesome time, actually. It was pretty fun. And I came down here to Austin to work with a company called Trilogy Software with Joe Lemont. And Trilogy was a really special company at the time. They were an enterprise software company, effectively, building big e-commerce and other types of websites for other really big Fortune 500 companies and others. But as a culture, they just had this incredible recruiting machine focused on bringing in really great talent from all the top schools. And around particularly engineering and entrepreneurship. And so that's really what attracted me and got me to come down here. And this was in, 1999. So, probably 8 or 9 years before Y Combinator or anything like that. But they basically had their own little incubator accelerator program where all the students that came right out of school, or new hires that came right out of school, would go into this 3-month summer program that was basically a cross between Y Combinator and the TV show Survivor. And so basically everybody came in with startup ideas, and every 3 weeks they would kill half the ideas. Relevant to this discussion, Trilogy brought in thousands of super talented entrepreneurial technical people to Austin during that time. And that is, besides maybe Dell, I think one of the most pivotal inflection points that really juiced the whole entrepreneurial and innovation ecosystem here, because it brought so much talent from MIT and Stanford and Carnegie Mellon and a bunch of these other great schools that probably weren't being recruited here before that. And while Trilogy is still around, but it's become a very different company, and most of those people don't work at Trilogy anymore, most of those people still are here in Austin, or probably half of them. And the other half are at Google and Facebook and lots of other places. But now as you look around to really any of the really high growth companies in Austin, as an investor, or if the press really were catching on to this, one of the best signals of a company that's about to break out and explode is that all the Trilogy people start going to the senior executive team. And we saw that happen with Bizarre Voice, with HomeAway, with Indeed, it's Data.World, it's a lot of other examples of that happening. And that certainly was just a key inflection point for Austin. It's what brought me here. And they now, similar to how California has the PayPal mafia that created PayPal and YouTube and many other great companies, obviously Tesla and SpaceX and things like that. In a different way, Austin has, and it's called as the Trilogy mafia.
One thing, just since you've got kind of a firsthand perspective, is because other people have sort of referenced Trilogy as sort of, and very much in the way that you're talking about, as sort of like a seeding of Austin. How did they convince people to come to Austin in the 90s when you had the Bay? What was the value proposition? Do you think that still has relevance today?
I do. I think actually it's pretty similar. It was around quality of life and, the energy and excitement and the growth that was happening here. I mean, the company itself was a really interesting company that was exciting and had a great culture and was, something intoxicating you wanted to be part of. Fly people down. At the time, again, this was a time where everybody was throwing around a lot of inflated valuations and a lot of money around, and Trilogy definitely was part of that. One of the things they did at that time was everybody that worked at Trilogy had a cab card, they called it. Although within of like after the first year, you didn't even have to have the card. You just say you're from Trilogy. And basically they'd pay for your cab anywhere in the city. This was before there was ride sharing. They'd pay for your ride if you just said you were from Trilogy. And their cab bill was like $25,000 a month. It was like ridiculous, right? But everybody from Trilogy was just taking everybody out. It'd be like call four cabs to go pick up like a whole bunch of people, and they'd take them to some party or some bar or like something. And obviously it kept people from driving drunk, which was part of why they did it. But it also was like this incredible marketing engine for them that like they were like, you know, kind of like making everybody move around the city.
It was like Uber 0.0.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, not surprisingly, actually, Ride Austin, which was created in response to Uber and Lyft leaving Austin, was created by the Trilogy founder as well. That kind of interesting coincidence I never thought about until so you said that.
How long did you work there, Josh? I just said this to put some timing on this. How long were you at Trilogy?
You know, I was there for 1 year. Mm-hmm. It was like I just went in for like it was like the exact best time I could have possibly been there at the peak of all the like craziness and everything going on. And I feel like I extracted just maximum value out of it. I was in their incubator program. We launched a company within 3 months. We closed a bunch of big deals and then sold that company at the beginning of 2000 for about $20 million in stock in this other company that then cratered and became worth nothing. But it was like a total dot-com, dot-bomb, you know, story. It was just super fun to be part of. And so that got me to Austin. And then at that time, it was the summer 2000. The market was clearly different. And I was, you know, thought Trilogy was great, but I didn't want to they weren't doing as much as investing in the incubator and startups, and I didn't want to go work for the big company side of business. And so I started working on my own startups again.
So tell me how – so walk me through that. I just think your personal story here is so connected to the city. I really think it's worth like going through in a little bit of detail. Take me from that to the kind of the founding or the origination of Capital Factor, either as an idea or as a –
Sure. Well, you know, then I was here in Austin. It was 2000. The market was kind of crashing, but Austin didn't really feel it that bad. I think the general impression of that the first dot-com crash was that Austin and actually both the 2008 market crash as well, that Austin dipped less than most other places and recovered more quickly, right? So you just like didn't feel it as much. It was a bump, but it wasn't nearly as bad. And then from 2000 on, it was just up and to the right. Like Austin's just been booming and growing and great things, people and things coming here and opportunities coming here. And so I had my email startup still at the time, and I was, you know, working on that. A bunch of my friends that had graduated graduating in 2000 thought they had jobs and didn't anymore. So I was able to go scoop a bunch of them up from Carnegie Mellon and from other places and started investing. As my business grew, started angel investing in people that I had met at Carnegie Mellon and people that I had met at Trilogy. These two awesome networks that I had on this theory that, hey, I felt like I had met some of the smartest people in the world doing all this amazing stuff, and like they're probably going to go do all this, you know, all these really great things, and really just investing in people. And then as I started investing a lot and working with more people on startups and helping other people start their startups in different ways, that's really what, you know, what kind of led to Capital Factory.
When was this? Give me a sense of when did you first think you wanted to do this, like Capital Factory, the idea, but like when did this?
It really kind of gelled in 2008, and I had just heard about Y Combinator. They'd come out the year before, and that, you know, sounded super interesting and fun, and was kind of like formalization of some of the stuff that I had been starting to do, you know, informally. Also, Techstars had just come out. Reached out to both of them, tried to get them to come to Austin. At the time, they weren't interested in doing that. Techstars eventually did come down many years later, and I'm really glad that they did. But at the time, they weren't interested in it, and so I was like, well, all right, I guess we just got to go start our own, right? And at that point, like, you know, one of the founders of Techstars, Brad Feld, was very generous. He came down for South by Southwest that in 2000. It was 2009, and really just brain dumped on me and gave me a ton of helpful information about Techstars and how they ran and everything like that. And I kind of melded what I read about and he had told me with the experience I had had with Trilogy in their 3-month summer program that incubated startups. And that was And then the mentors, you know, the original kind of crew of successful entrepreneurs and investors that I knew were all people from Trilogy. So it was a lot of those people that I'd met there that were the original kind of core team of Capital Factory. And that's what we, that's what we launched with.
And what year is this? So you guys used, the first launch was, when was that?
2009.
Okay. 2009.
So immediately after the 2008 market crash. We started working on it, like literally right as the market was crashing.
Almost, which is kind of a trend for your story, which is kind of interesting. Like you've done these kind of, you know, growth, innovation, you know, radical moves in the midst of market turmoil.
It's just kind of coincidence. There's like, you know, that best time to invest is when everything's down, right? There's nowhere to go but up. So,
right.
And that was something we were saying in 2009. We're like, hey, like, this is a great time to go start companies. There's less competition for talent, for funding, for other stuff. And we had no idea what we were doing, but we started doing it. And we were very fortunate. We were the first company that we picked and invested in were two entrepreneurs from that were just graduating from UCLA who came out here to start a company called Sparefoot.com, which has been a huge, huge success for us and for Austin. And they're still here right across the street.
That's great.
A couple hundred people.
So that's 2009. You start off with this, I don't know if you want to call it incubator, accelerator. I don't know what word you would use, but one of those two. And obviously now we're sitting in Capital Factory. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot of space here. What were the kind of big milestones between that, you know, initial accelerator incubator to today?
Yeah. Well, Capital Factory 1.0 was a pop-up program that we just ran for the summer. And that was basically a, it was real that what I, that was what I now consider to be kind of the soul of Capital Factory, which was the mentor network and the people that are here. And that was really all about paying it forward and helping other entrepreneurs get their businesses started. We did that for 3 years, and then we had the opportunity to open up this space, and we now have 60,000 square feet here right in the middle of downtown Austin, where thousands of people work every day, and hundreds of 100,000 people a year probably come and participate in all the different things that happen here. And that really became kind of the heartbeat, like the other side of it is that it's a place where there's stuff happening all the time, and because of that, people are coming together and meeting and connecting. And I think that in a lot of ways symbolizes part of what's so great about the Austin innovation ecosystem is this rising tide mentality of that this place is growing and it there's a boom mentality and that's good for everybody, or at least we're trying to make it good for everybody. And that this feeling, unlike some other places, that it's, if you do well, it's going to be easier for me to do well. And it's not a zero sum game. And you need to cast other people down in order for me to succeed. And so you just have that mentality here and lots of people helping each other out and making introductions and kind of making things happen.
Great. Thank you for that. Thank you for that kind of backstory. So I want to jump into the kind of meat of the interview, which is kind of just looking at the Austin innovation ecosystem. So one thing that we, you know, I've been asking people about, and I don't want to force you into this continuum, but we've been kind of asking people, you know, how would you assess Austin, you know, as a hub of innovation from kind of being an innovation backwater where there's relatively little happening to sort of a global innovation leader, you know, with the most obvious example being the Bay Area. Like where would you put Austin if you were had to sort of say, hey, here's where I think we are, or how, you know, whether you just characterize it or put it onto the, I know we've got a continuum here. Where do you think we are?
There's a lot of great places to start. There's the Kauffman Foundation and others that have done a bunch of research on, like, you know, kind of how do we rank by entrepreneurial activity and by investments and by other things like that. And every different way you can measure it, Austin's doing pretty darn good. In fact, all of Texas is doing really well. And so certainly, you know, the Austin, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio are four of the top 10 largest cities in the country and four of the top innovation and entrepreneurial and technology hubs. And Austin is the top of all those four. So that's a great spot to be. And at the same time, everybody realizes as well, there's still like an order of magnitude difference between Austin and Silicon Valley and really almost anywhere else in Silicon Valley, you know, maybe New York or some other markets get close. But Austin's still, you know, significantly far behind Silicon Valley in that way. And I think the trends are all in the right direction. We've got great people and great talent and great CEOs moving here. We've got more money coming here, more big companies coming here, people moving their headquarters here or thinking about moving their headquarters here. So all those things to me seem like they're headed in the right direction. Make me think the next 10 years are going to be at least as good or better than the last 10 years. But nobody's got a perfect crystal ball, but it sure looks pretty good right now. And all those indicators that say to me, we're going to continue to see that growth and we're going to continue to see talent coming here and people coming here. And as much as, you know, our Texas state legislature can kind of go both ways on this. In general, they do things that make this a place where people want to live and go to, and where businesses want to come. And I meet lots of entrepreneurs who just sold their business in California, and that's why they're moving here, because they just paid taxes and they realize, like, hey, you know what? I have a network in Silicon Valley now. I don't have to be there to go start my next company. I can do this anywhere. That's only going to get easier, right? It's only going to get easier to be able to start your business anywhere. So when people can choose where they want to be, they choose to come to Austin. And that's just a fact, because we've been the fastest growing city in the country for like 10 years. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's many years. And so that's a fact. Like, when people choose where they go, they come here. And to be honest, that's the best argument I've heard yet. It was from Mayor Adler, our mayor, for why Amazon might choose Austin. Because honestly, I kind of think from like just a numbers perspective, Dallas looks a lot more attractive. It's a bigger city. It's a big transportation hub. They have a lot of great things going for them. But the biggest thing Austin has going for them is that Amazon's going to have to move a whole bunch of people here from Seattle. And when they ask them all, like, where do you want to move? They're all going to be like, yeah, I want to move to Austin. Like, that's good, you know, and that's what it is. You ask anybody, even if they haven't been here, like, they're like, yeah, you know, I've heard really good things about Austin. That place is pretty cool. And that's what Austin has, and I think we'll continue to have, and it positions us really well going forward. So how do we – sorry. So specifically to your point, how do we compare? Austin is like the king of all the second tier cities. Again, we're an order of magnitude off. So that's that mean.
I think it's a really good description.
All the second tier cities, fundraising is completely different than the Bay Area. In Silicon Valley, when you're fundraising, you have to pitch the vision of how this can be the biggest thing in the world. And pretty much everywhere else, you start with, here's how I'm going to make sure I don't lose your money. And honestly, those are like two really different perspectives on how you're going to build a business and where you're going to start from, right? And, you know, and so, and that's a somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know? Silicon Valley makes the biggest bets, so they get the biggest outcomes, right? And that's, you know, they're the Hollywood of startups. Now, again, the trends still generally are in everybody else's favor, because it's just going to get easier and easier to do this anywhere, because the world's getting flatter and flatter, and the internet itself is making it easier to do this anywhere. And some of this also just takes time. And, you know, and the time cycle of a startup is 10 plus years, you know, how long it takes to build a big company. Sometimes it happens faster, but not usually. And so you think about that, like, it takes, that's a generation for the startup ecosystem is like, you know, say 10 years. So it takes generations to build a startup ecosystem. It takes generations to build an ecosystem that can support these really big companies. And Silicon Valley is the oldest and the biggest and the most successful. But we're not standing still or anything. And I think our evolution is coming too. And I think this year, I'm 100% confident of this. 2018 is going to be a banner year for Austin. It already started off as one, with WP Engine raising $250 million in the biggest round of funding in the past 10 years in Austin, and Main Street Hub selling for $150 million, and then Bumble purportedly doing like a $1.5 billion deal. And then I know of at least two other major private equity, not nine-figure private equity deals that will happen this year in Austin. That just threw all the numbers off. Like, it's going to be, I think, of, you know, twice as good as, you know, as last year or any other year. Now, that's going to put a lot of expectations on next year, but I think that's going to turn some heads, and, you know, people are going to notice that there's a lot of real stuff happening here. And I think the pipeline of things to follow, of more businesses like that are coming, is really, really good.
That's really helpful. You know, one thing we've been talking to people about, and I think it's been kind of a really rich set of conversations we've been having around this, is you've kind of had these like 12 characteristics that we've been asking people, you know, to kind of think about them in two different ways. One is sort of like, which ones are really helping us from an innovation ecosystem standpoint, where, you know, going back to the being the king of the second tier, however you put it, you know, there are things that are really helping us. And then the flip side of the coin is, when you look at this list and you think about having conversations with entrepreneurs and CEOs, et cetera, what is, you know, either a gap for us, or we could potentially be at risk of if we don't get ahead of it? You know, it's kind of just getting in the way of what you think might be possible. Let's start with the first question. I just want to make sure you knew about the second one's coming. When you just say, hey, here's the stuff that I think really helps us a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's a great list. So, and so just looking at the one that, you know, that I'm, that you put in front of me here, you know, obviously talent's the number one thing. That's the leading indicator. I think we've got great people moving here and developing here and continuing to move here. And our, that talent's going to be our biggest strength. A lot of that comes from our universities. There are great universities here, the University of Texas at Austin, St. Edward's University. We've got a great community college here. The rest of Texas has great universities, but also king of the second tier when it comes to startups, right? So everybody's trying to be Stanford, and it's not like we've got that figured out yet, and we're really, you know, doing a great job commercializing technology. So it's certainly opportunity for improvement there.
Do you mind if I ask a quick follow-up question? Not to, I apologize for interrupting here, but when you, we've had a lot of people talk about UT, and I know you've been in the city long enough to have a little bit of a longitudinal perspective.
I teach at UT also.
And you teach at UT. Has there been a change when you look back 15 years to today? I mean,
yeah, well, the biggest change is Bob Metcalf came here 7 or 8 years ago, and he's the professor of innovation for the university, and he's been, you know, a super successful entrepreneur who's lived and built businesses in Silicon Valley. He came here from MIT, where he was, you know, and from Polaris, being a venture capitalist in Boston. So he's been on both coasts. He's kind of seen it all. He's been at, you know, a top university that is very top tier of commercialization and startups. And he's a little bit of a disruptor himself. And so he's come in, and I think he's had a great influence. And at the same time, the University of Texas is a massive ship that turns really slowly. And even though he has a lot of weight and a lot of momentum behind him, you know, it's slow turning the boat. So we still got some work to do. So other things that are benefits, the tax environment, definitely a benefit. Cost of living, still generally a benefit. It's a high value. It's certainly not the cheapest place to be that it, because it used to be really cheap, but salaries and income has gone up with that. And the, you know, value, I think Indeed did a study last year of, you know, the best place if you're a software engineer to get a job where your money goes the farthest. And this is that. And on the flip side, if you're hiring software engineers, it's really one of the best places to hire people and be able to retain them and keep them and pay them. Cost of doing business, generally low. Transportation infrastructure, people like to complain about it. It actually works pretty well. There's definitely room for improvement. We could use train. We could use more direct air flights. But it's pretty good. There's direct flights to most of their major cities every day. And that's also a situation that's, it's just going to get better. We've got high-speed rail coming in Texas. Who knows if there's wherever the first Hyperloop will be. Decent chance it'll be in Texas. So yeah, I think a lot of good things going on there. Quality of life, major benefit. That's why people come here. They come here for quality of life. They come here because they're starting a family. They want to raise kids. They want to work hard, but they also want to go hang out on the lake, and they want to go outside, and they want to go backpacking, and they want to, you know, do lots of other things. So I think those are that kind of sums up the real strengths. And then turning that upside down, yeah. You know, what are the disadvantages? You know, the obvious ones there that really stick out, you know, while taxes are a benefit, politics are a drawback, right? And our legislature ends up spending a lot of time and getting a lot of stuff in the press about stuff that often isn't really a problem and certainly is viewed by the business community as a negative. And they're the kinds of things that, like, companies boycott places over and move out of places over. And with companies like Apple having such a large presence here, where Apple's second largest headquarters, with Google and Facebook and others, you know, growing here, you know, we need to be really careful about that. And so things like the bathroom bill and other types of things that have happened, you know, the Texas legislature are not doing us any favors for, you know, attracting innovative people and startups and technology. And then, I think the other, you know, obvious side of things is the availability of capital. And, you know, that's a mixed bag. This is, again, where, like, everybody, everywhere I've been, anywhere besides Silicon Valley, likes to complain that they don't have enough capital. And I've traveled to lots of startup communities, and it sounds the same everywhere you go. It sounds the same in Austin, and it's going to sound the same in Boise. And so I think on the one hand, like, I try to take it with some perspective, because everywhere else I go wishes they were Austin. And so in Austin, we can sit here and complain that we don't get enough funding as we should, or we're, you know, how much better it might be in Silicon Valley for funding in one way or another. But, like, everybody else wishes they were here. And when you're everywhere else, they're saying, and I can't believe it sometimes, but they're like, you know, in places like Silicon Valley or Austin, right? And I'm like, what? Did they just say that? And nobody here would believe that they say things like that, but that is what they say. And so, so it really isn't that bad. And I would argue, as I think many others would, that if you have a really great company, you can get it funded, and it will grow and get financed. Now, in Silicon Valley, there is a lot more funding, and that means it is easier to get funded. You know, now sometimes that's not always a good thing, but like it usually feels like a good thing. So, is there room for more capital here? Definitely. Do I think we're going to attract more capital here? Yeah, I do. Do we already see that happening? Yeah, we do. Would we like it to happen faster? Yes, we would. You know, like, but it's not something I don't worry about it. Like, I feel like we just got to make really great companies. If we keep making great companies, we'll attract great capital and we'll develop it here. And there's a lot of money. And when we say that, when we talk about capital, everybody looks to California. And they're thinking, we need to get more Silicon Valley money to invest in Austin, which would be good. I'm all for that. That's great. But they don't often, I think, look and realize that there is a really lot of money in Texas. Now, most of it's not in Austin. It's actually in Dallas and Houston and other places. But Dallas is a massive private equity hub. There's so much oil money and real estate money and other stuff here in Texas that traditionally doesn't play in startups. And I think that's a huge opportunity. And we need to be finding ways to unlock that more and getting Texas investing in Texas and not just looking outside of Texas for it.
It's a really interesting point. You know, one thing that going back to the point you made on kind of the regulatory environment, the political environment, you were kind of looking at you were making a lot of comments about the state. Other people kind of talked about the city a little bit. And I, you know, obviously don't want to dig too much into that. But what's your view? I mean, people have – it's kind of an interesting one. It sort of seems to elicit strong opinions both ways. And I was just curious from your standpoint, you know, how you would assess the city.
Nothing's perfect, but overall I feel like we're actually pretty good. The danger is we don't want to become San Francisco. We don't want to divide between the technology and business community here and the others in the community that maybe don't identify with that. And I think there's some risk of that. We created an organization last year called the Austin Tech Alliance, and its purpose is really to help get the technology and innovation community engaged locally in what's happening in the city and voting and caring about what's happening and feeling like they're empowered and they're part of it. And also by doing that, figuring out how we can use technology to make our city better for everybody else so that everybody else feels like if Amazon's considering moving their headquarters here, that they think that's a good thing, because not everybody does think that's a good thing. And I think that's a good thing. But how do we make that a good thing for everybody? And I think that's like a really key question to ask. And that's when you talk about city of Austin, city council, and others, and how they feel about technology and innovation, or how that might affect this. That's what we're talking about. And to make this work, we need to make sure that everybody in Austin sees this growth as a benefit, and that everybody benefits from it in different ways. And that's our challenge. So, you know, the pinnacle of that was the big fight we had with Uber and Lyft, and we made Uber and Lyft leave. And, I saw both sides of that. And, you know, there were a lot of things that Uber and Lyft did wrong. In the end, I feel like we kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, like, we still, like, need ride sharing, and that's why it's back, you know, like, and so, wow, that cost everybody a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of energy, and we ended up right back where we were. But I think that, I think in the end, that's not actually a systemic problem. I think, you know, we've got a lot of good things going for us. And I think most people on city council do also see both sides of it. And they know that they want to work hard to make sure that we're making the city better for everybody. But they also realize that a lot of the great things we have come from the growth and the opportunity and the great people moving here and the great things that, you know, that because this is such an attractive place to be, makes everybody want to live here.
So, Josh, I know you're a really busy guy. I want to touch one last topic before I let you go, if you don't mind, which is one thing that we've been asking people about is, you know, looking at kind of these different industries. We kind of have a little bit of a hierarchy of, or just not a hierarchy, but kind of a list of these distinct industries, and kind of asking people, like, where do they think, you know, you see a lot of activity or a lot of talent in Austin, where you're like, you know what, I think we've got some winners in that space, or I think Austin is really good at that space.
Right. So, you know, when you look at all of Texas, one of the things that's interesting about Texas is that you have these four cities that are all really different and have different things to offer. And when you look at most of them, it's really obvious. Like Houston, it's like oil and gas and health. They've got the medical center. They've got a huge – obviously, they're a huge port with tons of energy companies based there. When you look at Dallas – there's, you know, sports and entertainment and retail and transportation, both American Airlines and Southwest. And, you know, Toyota's up there. They have a lot of great things going up there. Then you look down at
San Antonio, and it's pretty obvious. It's like, okay, they got the military base. It's a big cybersecurity center, and there's also a big health center there. And so you know kind of like what their thing is. And Austin doesn't really have a thing. Like, Austin's good at lots of stuff. Like, we got the new medical school. Like, health is really booming here. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, great hardware background from AMD and Motorola and lots of other companies like that. We've got lots of kind of video game background from EA and Richard Garriott's company. And just that's kind of feeding this VR and augmented reality thing going on here. There's a lot of AI going on here with research coming out of the university and stuff coming from big companies here. CPG, consumer packaged goods, food products, and things like that are doing really well here. We have Whole Foods and Sweet Leaf Tea and Deep Eddy Vodka and lots of other things coming out of that. And so, I mean, there's, you know, it's, you might pick on a few areas where you could say, hey, we could use some room for improvement. But overall, that's one of Austin's strengths is that it's broad. We have a lot of background. And we have a lot of talent that's diverse. And a lot of different things can thrive here.
Great. Josh, thank you so much. This was really, really interesting. I actually really enjoyed it and learned a lot too. So thanks for taking the time out of your day.
Cool. No problem.